Hey guys, let me tell you about something that's effing great, and that is Promescence Delay Spray. Promescence Delay Spray is great because it's not going to transfer to your partner and it's not going to totally numb you out. All it's going to do is make you last longer in bed without having to worry about lasting longer in bed. So you're going to be able to wait for your girl to come, okay? Promescent also has a whole line of women's products. They also sell supplements that are going to make you hornier called VitaFlux. They have everything you need for a really hot night of sex. Not only do I recommend Promescent, over 2,000 medical professionals recommend them too. So what are you waiting for? Go get yourself some Promescent. Go to promescent.com/strictlyanon. That's promescent.com/strictlyanon. Go there now and you're going to get 15% off your whole order. So order up, okay? That's promescent.com/strictlyanon. Or just go to the description and click on the link.
Welcome to the Strictly Anonymous Podcast. Conversations with online strangers. We place ads online.
Craigslist is definitely the gift that keeps on giving.
Real people respond.
You go to Singapore or Thailand. You can't not do it. The temptation is just too much.
Real problems.
Does your friend know that you're banging her?
No, he has no idea.
And anything goes.
Motto of the show, let your Greek flag fly.
Probably the only good advice I'll ever give you is to rehide your whips and chain.
Here is your host, Kathy.
Hey, welcome to the Strictly Anonymous Podcast with Kathy. If you haven't followed the Strictly Anonymous Podcast yet on Instagram or Twitter, follow me at Strict Anonymous. If you listen on a podcast app, make sure to subscribe to my show, whether you're on iTunes or Spotify. Definitely press 5-star review if you love my show. That kind of shit really helps. If you're listening on Spotify, what's really fun is they have polls. I run polls over there, and there is a place to comment on the episodes. I get so excited when I get some comments on Spotify. So if you have a comment about an episode, I post some questions over there to get the conversation going. Definitely give your 2 cents. I love hearing what people think about the episodes and the topic that we're discussing. That's what I love about YouTube. That's where I get all my comments. But now I get them on Spotify too, which is super fun. There are a lot of comments that come in that have bad words in them. There's certain things you cannot say or else Spotify is going to flag it. I will see flagged comments, but I never air them because if they're flagged, what they're saying is that if I post that, it could get me in trouble. So make sure if you comment on Spotify that you keep your comments as clean as possible. So you want to say sex, say S and then 2 stars. If you want to say come, say C-O-M-E. Like just keep it super clean. Make sure to comment over there if you can. I love seeing comments. Now, if you want to be on the show, it's called Strictly Anonymous because people remain anonymous on the show. I change everybody's voices. If you don't want to be anonymous, you don't have to, but most people do. I change voices. I change names. If you want to be on the show, just send me an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, or go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com, and click on the show. Now, listen, if you have a naughty confession that you want to be aired on one of my Naughty Confessions episodes, you could call my confessions hotline. The number's 347-420-3579. That's 347-420-3579. You could call that number 24/7. I change all the voices on my confessions hotline. You have 4 minutes, leave a message. If you need longer, just call back. But make sure when you leave it, you're in a very quiet place and you speak clearly and you have on a good headset, okay? I get some confessions where I can't hear a thing someone's saying, like they're driving down a highway with their windows open, okay? Be in a quiet place. What's fun about my anonymous confessions episode is like now I do give my 2 cents to it. I'm typically not answering people via email or DMs when people will have questions or want to tell me something because I just don't have the time to do that. And I'm a talker, not a writer. So if you want to tell me something about yourself and you want my opinion, call my confessions hotline, 347-420-3579. Now, most of these confessions, they're not aired on an episode. They're posted on my Patreon. My Patreon is super fun. It's like a very big community at this point. I have over 2,100 people on my Patreon signed up. on my Patreon for just $5 a month. You get all of my episodes early and ad-free. You get Q&As. I do them probably like every other month where I answer any kind of questions that my Patreon members have. You also get anonymous pics of every female guest that has ever been on my show. They're all over there. Hot pics, like sexy pics, rated R pics, are all there. And then you also get access to my private Discord channel, which is not R-rated. It's X-rated, okay? And there's a big community over there of like-minded people all chatting with each other. I don't get involved in my Discord channel, but it's a great place for you to go and talk to some of my guests. Go on there. They post their X-rated pictures on there. Other people and listeners who are in the Discord get to post whatever they want, post videos, post pictures. It's age-restricted, but it's very easy to get into. I think just iPhone users have to do something on the computer to make them able to see the private Discord, but I give you all those instructions when you sign in, so it's pretty easy. If you want to sign up for my Patreon, like I said, it's only $5 a month. You could cancel at any time. Go to patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. That's patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. Now listen, all the information I just gave you, all of the links and everything will be in the description. So if you're driving, don't worry. Just go to the description later. So today I have on Jason. Jason's got a super interesting story. He started out as a kind of like a player. He didn't use the word player, but he did have a lot of threesomes, and he was always banging a lot of chicks, and he was always cheating, and he was always doing whatever the fuck he wanted to when he was younger. So by the time he met his girl, his wife, who he's with now, she kind of knew who he was. He had that reputation. He had a bunch of threesomes and stuff right from the get-go when he was young. And we do talk about the threesomes that he had, how he was able to have them when he was young. They were always male, female, female threesomes. And then, like I said, when he met his wife, she kind of knew he was a playa and that he loved sex. And she was straight up with him and was like, listen, if we're going to do this, I want you to know that if you ever have that desire or need to go be who I know you to be, which is a guy that might need some other women every now and then, I would want you to tell me as opposed to cheat on me. And he really appreciated that. And he really took that to heart. He totally respected that. He was able to remain monogamous to her for 6 whole years. He knew that if he wanted to go do something else, all he'd have to do is talk to her about it. He felt like she was honest about that. And that was cool. And he didn't want to disrespect her, which is cool of him. And then about 6 years in, like I said, they did start to talk about doing a threesome together, and they wound up doing a male, female, female threesome. She was open to trying that. From there, all kinds of things opened up. He wound up getting a free pass from her to whenever he feels like it, to go and screw somebody else. And he has done that. And we talk about those experiences over time. But the first time she gave him that pass, it was like she gave it to him as a birthday present. She was like, as long as you tell me about it afterwards, I'm cool with it. And that's how she put it on the table. And since that time where he hooked up with that girl, he wound up hooking up with her a bunch of times. He wound up hooking up with a couple as well as another woman. He always tells her about it. In the beginning, she wasn't turned on by it, but by now she is turned on by it, because through their journey of trying out all the different things that they tried out, she became much more sexually open and free. They went from that first threesome with a woman. They started trying all different kinds of things. They started pegging. She was very into pegging. He was into it. And then they decided to get back into the threesome thing, but this time with a guy. She was very hesitant about meeting up with an actual man in the beginning, that they wound up setting the first one up as a surprise. She said, just surprise me. And he was like a little concerned, like he didn't want to put her in a weird position, but that was like the only way she was ever going to follow through with it. He talks about how they prepared for that surprise to happen. He did wind up finding a guy. They had MMF threesome that first night after they started pegging. He was open to kind of like trying something with a guy. He wasn't closed to it. So that time that they hooked up with the guy, that first time, that first threesome, they fucked all night in their first session. But the second session, he totally hooked up with the guy. And he hooked up with the guy because his wife like shoved the guy's dick in his mouth. Turns out she's really into seeing him with guys. He's down to hook up with a guy while it's happening. And he's one of those guys that's like, listen, I'm not into guys when I'm not with my wife. But if my wife's there and there's a dick around, like he'll suck it or he'll go with it. It's hot to him. And so after that, they've been having MMF threesome since. He talks about why they prefer black guys over white guys. It's not what you think. It's not cause, it's just because they have bigger dicks. He talks about how why a lot of white guys appear desperate when they're trying to hook up with a couple. So you get a little information of what not to do if you want to get picked by a couple. He does talk about their experiences with the black guy that they enjoyed. Like I said, he's been with another couple as well as with another woman, and he had a threesome with her with another guy, and all of this is all okay with his girl. They do a lot together and they're both totally into it. It's only added to their relationship. They over communicate. He says the word communicate a lot in this episode. That's what it's all about. They are that couple that over communicates, and that's why they're successful at it. He couldn't love his wife anymore. She's completely changed as a person since what they've done. And he says it changed her like for the better. She's more confident than she used to. It's a super interesting story. Hopefully I'm going to hear from her. I have hot pics of them over on my Patreon. Make sure to go over there and check them out. So anyway, I'm going to be right back on with Jason.
This is the Strictly Anonymous podcast.
Hi, Jason. Welcome to the Strictly Anonymous podcast. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Listen, Jason, you called in or wrote in and told me you wanted to talk about, the first thing you wanted to talk about is why people, white people, are so into hooking up with black guys, right? And I think a lot of people sometimes ask that question. Everyone has a different reason for why they think that is. You are here to talk about why you feel that is. And it's something I had never heard before, but it makes sense. It kind of made sense to me. So we're going to talk about that. But you do have an open marriage. You were doing kind of crazy things before her. Your wife wasn't. But when you guys got together at some point in your marriage, you did open up and you've done everything. Like you with two girls, then it was you guys with another guy, and then it was you guys and you with another guy and her with another guy and pegging. And like you've added in like basically everything, I feel like, over time. Is that like the correct short story?
Yes, that's correct. We've done everything except for orgies or gangbangs like that. Most we've ever done was a threesome.
Okay, cool. But every kind of threesome and configuration, right? Every kind of threesome configuration. So let's go back, Jason, and start off. I know that you said you had your first threesome when you were really young. So you were always like super open sexually?
Yes, I've slept around quite a bit as a child or as a kid, my young adult life, and started having threesomes at 18, 19 years old and just progressed from there.
Who were you having threesomes at that time? Did you have a wild girlfriend? Did you go out and just, was it like one night stand threesomes? How are you so lucky at that young age to be getting down and having threesomes? I think it happens nowadays more to people, but not back in the day as much.
No, yeah, a lot of it was girlfriends that were wild and weren't, they were very free and open-minded, so we had a lot of fun. Usually me, I've been very lucky about talking to anybody about just about anything I wanted to do.
That's what I would think, right? So you were able to get all those young girls to have threesomes with you?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So now, were they always with other women, or were they also sometimes with other guys?
No, it was always other women. I didn't do a MMF threesome until I was later, about 20 years later in my life.
Right, because I think it's easier to talk a girl into screwing another girl or doing something with another girl, but it's a totally different thing to bring another guy in.
Well, it's more accepted, especially yeah. Different pockets of the nation and where people live. It's so much two guys and one girl so frowned upon until you realize later in life people kind of grow out of being jealous and what people are going to see them as and how people are going to judge them, that they open up their mind.
I know, exactly. So you wind up meeting your wife. Now, do you tell her about your past when you're together, or do you not? Because I know that she was pretty vanilla in the beginning, correct?
Yeah, she knew who I was. We were from the same social background. She was a few years younger than me, but we had a lot of similar friends. So she already knew who I was and she knew about me.
Yeah.
And we just kind of went out and dated, and one thing led to another as a few years into our life, because she admitted from day one, she said she will probably never be enough for me. And I said, I'm willing to be with one person. Let's see how it goes. But we talked and it grew, and we grew into threesomes and more.
Wow. So she knew that you were like highly sexualized. You were a highly sexualized person. And she was a little concerned, like, will I be able to satisfy you? And will you be able to be monogamous? Because you had that reputation?
Yes. There's not one person I ever was faithful to except for my wife.
So she knew going in, she's like dating a cheater.
Yes, and that one promise I made her is that I would never, I don't believe in abusing women. I told her I would never harm her and I would never lie to her. So that's the one thing she asked me. She was, if you decide you need more, let's just have that conversation. So right. The fact that she offered that made it easier to talk to, made it where you didn't have to cheat and sneak around people. She knew what she was signing up for going in.
Now listen up, everyone. I know why you're here. Because you love listening to hot stories. Well, I know where you could find a ton more hot stories, and that is on the Dipsy Stories app. Dipsy is full of hundreds of short, sexy audio stories. No matter what you're into or what turns you on, Dipsy's got something for you. Whether you're into straight stories, queer stories, threesomes, or moresome stories, you're going to find it on Dipsy. They also have sleep stories, wellness sessions, and written stories. And they also have my favorite feature, which is the jump to the action button. So if you want to get right to it because you're super horny, you're just going to press a button and it's going to take you right to where the action starts. So what are you waiting for? Go get Dipsy now. And for listeners of this show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/strictlyanon. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipseastories.com/strictlyanon, dipsystories.com/strictlyanon, or just go to the description and click on the link. Good news, Strictly Anonymous Podcast is looking for people to call into the show. So if you lead an interesting, naughty secret life that you want to talk about while remaining anonymous or not anonymous, if you're out and proud, that's cool too. Send me an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. That's strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. Or go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com, and click on Be on the Show. If you have a short confession that you want to get off your back, call my confessions hotline, 347-420-3579. That's 347-420-3579. You could call that number 24/7. I change all the voices on the confessions too, so you remain anonymous. The number, the website, and the email address will all be in the description.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
So none of the other girls ever said that to you? Because you obviously had a reputation. Like all those other girls you lied to, but for some reason with this one, was it because she was the one that you decided to be straight up with her?
Well, no, most before it was you can go out and have fun and party and have threesomes, whatever happens. And then when you want to get into a relationship with them, they want to completely change who they are. Well, I'm not changing who I am. This is how we met. I'm still going to be the same person until my life just evolves over time, but I'm not going to change overnight who I am. So the fact that my wife offered that up and we had those honest conversations, it was kind of a big relief for me. And I knew I could always be open with her and honest.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. I get what you're saying. She came in a different way. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, communication is the key to everything.
Yeah.
So the fact that she was willing to communicate before we ever even needed those conversations just made it so much easier.
And she was honest about it. She was kind of like, I know who you are, so don't lie to me, but let's deal with that. Yeah. Like, how do we make this work? And you could be you. And so that was like, hey, if you have the desire to go out and do something else, come to me first and we'll discuss it. That's how it went down.
Correct.
Okay. So then what happened? Like, when did you wind up going to her and saying something? Because obviously you guys wind up at some point not being monogamous, you're non-monogamous together, you never cheated on her. When do things start to change with you guys?
We were about 6 years in, actually, and it was just joking around in conversations, and she finally, I think she was evolving as a person and saw that I was honest with her and I was faithful to her and did everything I promised her. And we had a conversation about threesome and a girl, and she said, I would like to try it. I said, okay, well, I can make it happen. What would you like to do? So we agreed on a person, talked to her. It was somebody that I knew, and it was fun. It was all right. It wasn't the best thing. Honestly, I think it was the wrong person to do it with. It was the biggest situation because me and the other lady had a past. I think that was the only issue. So my wife doesn't enjoy seeing me with other people. So that's where we evolved from there into MMF.
Okay, so she doesn't like to see you with another woman. Yeah, I would think that would be hard, especially because that other woman was someone that you had already been with.
Yes.
And so, but going into that threesome, when you did have that first threesome, were the rules she was going to hook up with the woman, but you weren't? Or was she down with you hooking up with the woman and trying that out? Did she try it?
She was open to everything. There was no rules, no guidelines.
Oh, okay.
Like I said, we had a good evening. Everything was fine. It was, I think it was just the wrong person, really, because she's even talked recently about maybe doing it again, but with somebody news, try to find somebody different.
But so afterwards, okay, so you have that threesome. It's the first time she hooks up with a woman and she winds up realizing like she enjoys it?
No, she's not. She liked the threesome aspect. She liked having a little bit of fun and kind of letting loose, but she didn't like it being with a woman and especially somebody I knew. So it was, that happened. It was not for another 2 years later till we had another threesome. And it was just, it was just communication. We talked. We would talk about different situations. And in during this time, she knew who I was again. So she was fine with me going and sleeping with this other woman. So she's like, look, I don't want to be a part of the threesome. I know you need this. And it was maybe once every 8 months or so, I'd go sleep with the other girl and do something, have a little bit of fun. But signed off on all that. She was fine with all that. She just didn't want to see me and be a part of it.
Oh my God, I wish we had her on this call. Maybe she'll call in next. But wait, let me ask you, because I love that. Listen, I don't think a lot of women would be able to do that. But the fact that she said to you, like, listen, I know that maybe you need to go do something else every now and then, I give you permission. And was that at 6 years in when you got after that threesome, or was that always the case through your relationship?
No, that was after the threesome.
Okay. So
we had that conversation after the fact because, like I said, I told her the only thing she ever asked me at the beginning was just don't lie to her, cheat to her, or cheat on her, and I never did. So after we had the threesome, and it was a good experience, but it wasn't the best, again, because I think of the person.
Yeah.
She agreed to let me go ahead and have some fun here and there, and that's where we started evolving as a couple, right? We've been together 7-8 years. We had kids. We were buying a house. So we evolved, and we got a better, strong bond that she had more trust and faith in me as a husband, because you're a year or two in, everybody thinks everything's forever, but until you're with somebody 7, 8, 9, 10 years, you realize how the commitment is.
Yeah, for sure. But I'm surprised. So she didn't enjoy that threesome because it was somebody that you had been with, but that was the same woman that she allowed you to go and have sex with every now and then when you wanted to?
Yes.
Wow. So how did that conversation go about? Like, after you have your threesome, it's kind of like, I wasn't that into it. I didn't really enjoy that. But you said, oh, but I would like to continue to do stuff with other people. Like, who raised their hand first and said, you're allowed to go do solo action? Her, or did you ask for it?
She actually flew. We had moved out of state. She actually flew the girl out to visit and had me a hotel room with the girl for my birthday.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed with your wife. But wait, so that was like the way she brought it up. She like, here's your fucking other girl on a silver platter for your birthday. I'm going to let you fuck someone else. That's how it came up.
Yes. Well, my wife is great as she is. She has limitations. There's a few things she doesn't do. So she knows this other girl will do them, and I get my kinks off it, and I can be done, and I'm fine for a while.
No, your wife is awesome. Let me just tell you, the fact that I'm so glad I kept asking questions about how she allowed you to go do solo play, because you would have skipped over the fact that she like wound up doing this surprise for your birthday where there was another girl waiting for you to fuck you. That's kind of like a super interesting story.
Oh, my wife is amazing.
Yeah, but that's a super interesting story. You were just blowing past. Oh, my God. Thank God I'm here interrupting you. So literally you had no idea, or did she tell you ahead of time, by the way, this is your present?
Yeah, she told me a day or two ahead. He's, by the way, I'm flying so-and-so out and blah, 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 and have fun.
Wow. So she's like, I flew this girl in and you're going to go and have a night with her and do whatever the fuck you want. Now, did she want to hear about it or did she not want to hear about it?
Yeah, she wanted to talk about it, which we did. A couple of days later, the girl left and everything. We were fine. And we had a conversation about it and talked about what happened, what didn't happen.
And how did she feel about it? Was she turned on by it? Was she a little jealous? Was she fine? How did that go?
I don't think she's turned on by it. She's a little uneasy, but she accepts it. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's not the right way to say it, but she also knows it was giving me something that she wouldn't or doesn't. And again, I'm not cheating. I'm not lying. I'm not sticking behind her back. She controlled the situation, right?
Yeah. Well, what was that girl giving her that she doesn't? Like anal sex or something? What was this girl flying in to do with you?
Well, she loves to give head and swallow, and she'll do anything.
Your girl doesn't swallow. She doesn't even blow you?
No. Oh, she does all the time, but she doesn't swallow.
Okay, so she was like, I want to bring this girl to do all the dirty things that I don't want to do with you. She's going to just do whatever.
Yes.
And were there any rules in that scenario, or no, just go have fun and just make sure you tell me about it?
Yep, that was it.
Wow. Okay. So how was that night for you? This is the first time you were with another woman in a long time. The first time you were like, here you were a guy who was always cheating and you had a lot of variety in your life. And now you've been monogamous for 6 years. Was that night great for you?
It was good, but it's not the same when you're not cheating and sneaking around. It's not as exciting.
Oh my God. It's so fucking funny. I know. Isn't that sad?
It is. It's very sad. But no, the girl's a great person. I love her to death. She's been a friend for 20 years. So we have a great relationship. Even if we don't sleep with each other, we've always been friends. So I do care about her. And I, that's where my wife's little bit of a hang up was, that I do care about the girl because she is a friend of mine. But yeah, when you're not cheating, it's not the same. It's fun. But I enjoy my wife being a part of it.
Yeah, I get it. If you're going to be doing something on the side, it's either cheating or you'd rather your girl be there. Okay, that makes sense. So did you ever see that same girl again, or was that just a one and done?
No, I've seen her. I've seen her since then.
Okay, and so do you have a free pass whenever you want to see her? You can, but you just got to tell your wife. Like, how is it set up that you go and hook up with women?
Yeah, well, with that girl, again, we moved to another state. So whenever I go back there to do things, she'll say, hey, you going to go see so-and-so? I'm like, yeah, if time works out, I will. And she'll ask me, and I say, hey, so-and-so's going to come over and spend the night or whatever it is. She's fine with it. So there's no set limit. There's no set guideline. It's just don't hide it.
And you never do, I would assume.
Nope.
Right, you're not one of those.
I'm not going to ruin a good thing.
Yeah, you're not one of those dum-dums. Sometimes I'm talking to people who do ruin a good thing. I'm sure you've heard those episodes. It's like fucking ridiculous.
Yes.
Like you got a woman that's giving you a free pass and you're fucking her over. It's crazy. All right, so let's get back to you and your wife. So you have that threesome. She's not into it. And then you said like a while goes by before you do anything again, right? A couple of years?
Yes.
And then what happens?
Just us talking and we talked about threesome. And what I realized is, my wife's not 100% into the woman thing. And I told her, look, it's not just me being selfish. I'm open to anything. I'm a extreme pervert and I'm open to try anything. If you want to have one with a guy, you want to, whatever you'd like to do, I'm willing to try.
Yeah.
So she wanted to have a threesome with a guy. She goes, okay, that sounds fun. But she's very timid and was unsure. So we talked to a few people, met people online, and then she'd back out.
Yeah.
And that happened two or three times until we finally, the night came where we went through with it.
Okay, so now what was she looking for? What was the type of dude that she wanted, or did she leave it up to you?
She doesn't know. Yeah, she left it with me. She does not want to talk to people, and this leads into why people are choosing BBCs over normal people, because most men, when you try to interact with a man, a single man to join a couple, they think they're doing you a favor. Like, you're not doing me a favor by sleeping with my wife. I satisfy my wife. We have no problems in the situation. So this is just an addition to our sex life is all it is. We're not replacing it. We're not fixing anything that's broken. This is an addition to what we already have that's great. So this is where a lot of the men have an issue. But she had no idea who she wanted, what she wanted. She left it with me. And I know the type of person my wife likes. She doesn't have racial guidelines. She doesn't have any kind of guidelines. She likes confident men, but not jerks.
Yeah.
So I found a guy finally and set something up, and we had a great night.
Okay, so walk me through that. So you wind up picking a guy. Now, going in, It doesn't sound like you guys ever have any rules. But at this point, were you going to be hooking up with the guy, or was this going to be just strictly her with the guy and you also with her?
This was going to be a threesome. It was going to be both the guys with her, is how it was set up to be. But, you know, again, me and my wife had several conversations leading up to this. So there's even some of the story missing, I guess. So let me just go back a little bit before. So me and my wife have a very active sex life. We kind of dabbled in a little bit of everything. We got into pegging. She got into playing with me with that. So we got into a lot of stuff. I've told her, again, background, where you grow up. There's certain things that are completely taboo. And I told her, I don't have a problem with men. I don't have a problem being around men, contact, anything like that. I don't see myself doing a lot with men, but I don't know. I said, you don't know till you try. This is where I'm at in my life.
Uh-huh.
With her, same thing. She didn't know what she wanted in life. She had a very vanilla sex life. She only slept with three guys before she met me. And it was very, very boring. Nobody did anything above regular sex with her. She had a very vanilla sex life. That's where I led that to that with her. So the first time I had sex with my wife, I ate her out, and she never had that before.
Oh, yeah, I remember you wrote that in the email.
27 years old, and nobody's ever eaten your pussy? Like, what is wrong?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So that's where my wife, so I took her to a whole nother level sexually. Like, we had a great time. I'm also lucky. I'm not a very small man. I'm 8 inches. So when her and I had sex the first time, it actually hurt because she was so tiny, she could have sex. So it took us a while to really get down that path and really have a good time. So we dabbled with a little bit of everything, like I said, as far as pegging, just everything that a couple could do together. We did it.
And you opened those doors, right? Because those were things you probably always were into, or no? Was this new for you as well?
I was curious. Like, I wasn't really into it. I really thought I would do it, but I was like, man, it's intriguing to me. What does that really feel like? Should I try it, or... You have those stigmas of where you live at, generations and geography where you live at, where it's very taboo. You don't talk about it. You're labeled with all this stuff if you even think about anything like that. So her and I get, again, the trust and the bond we have is great. So I can have these conversations with her, and she can have with me. She never thought she would be doing any of this stuff, and we evolved into a lot. We had a great time.
So wait, before we get back to that threesome that you're about to have with the guy, let's talk a little bit about the pegging. Are you the one that brought that up? Because you were curious?
It was just part of conversations. I really don't know how it got brought up.
Uh-huh.
You know, we would share a lot of memes back and forth and randomness. And I really don't remember how it got brought up. I was at work and we were messing with each other. She goes, don't play with me. I'll bring out a strap ball. And I was like, I didn't say no. And it just kind of evolved. And I don't remember exactly who initiated it. But open, honest, trustful relationships is what leads this lifestyle. If you don't have that, you'll never have anything in this lifestyle.
And lots of communication. You've said that word many, many times. And you guys are just always talking to each other. And you're talking about sex, as well as probably everything else.
Yes.
So the strap-on, you guys wind up getting a strap-on. And so how did you enjoy pegging? And how did she feel about it when you guys started?
I don't know. It's a weird deal. I like the interaction with my wife more than I like the actual feeling of it. The act is one thing, but the bond with me and my wife is a whole nother thing. It's like it's a great passionate moment for us.
Really?
Yeah. It's very, I don't know. I never would have thought, I would always thought it was more animalistic sex.
Yeah.
And it's not. Her and I it's a bond that we have. Nobody else has ever done that with me. And it's something that nobody else will ever do. It's something that her and I have together.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of this stuff that we do is us, a bond is together. I don't even want to do this stuff with other people.
Yeah.
Maybe me and my wife are the weird ones. I don't know. Maybe because everybody else is just pure sex, but we actually have a great bond with all this.
No, typically when I'm talking to couples that have been together for a long time that try this stuff out, they're at least the successful ones. And I talk to more successful couples than unsuccessful. They all have great bonds. That's always a huge part of it. And I think the great bond starts with all that talking. That's what people don't get. So many couples just don't talk to each other about anything, let alone everything. And I think that a lot of times the common denominator besides this great sex and all the stuff that you're doing is the couples that are successful is they're talking to each other all the time. They didn't stop that somewhere along the line. Whereas I think that happens to a lot of couples that aren't as successful. But so before she fucked you in the ass, had you ever had any kind of anal play? Did you try it like yourself?
No, I never did nothing. I had a girl that had licked my ass once or twice. That was it. That's the most I've ever done.
Yeah. So you didn't necessarily love it so much, is what you said, but you love the bond it brought with.
Correct.
To you guys.
Correct.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. The comfort, like the feeling of it, is good. It's okay, but the bond meant more than any of it to me.
Yeah, I get it. I'm a three input girl, so I like things up my ass. So I feel like I know, you know, a lot of times a woman and a man can't understand the feelings that each other has because you have a dick. I don't, like, you know, but we both have assholes. So I'm like, I know what it feels like to get fucked in the ass. And I think it's kind of amazing. There's a lot of nerve endings in there. So I always expect for someone to be like, oh my God, it felt fucking great. But for you, it was just okay. But you like it and you guys do it.
Yes. Yeah, it was okay. Yeah, you're right. Three input girls. I know a lot of girls, they love it. They don't. Like, I don't know why certain girls enjoy it and some girls hate it. I don't know if it's just a stigma that's in their mind or what. But
no, I'll tell you why.
A lot of women, some of just.
No, I'll tell you why. Because some guy just shoved his dick in their ass one time. And because most guys don't know that you can't just put your dick inside. And I always say it on my show, like, you want to know how to fuck a girl in the ass? Go play with shit in your ass first, okay? Try shoving a dildo in your ass without any foreplay, without any warning, and see how that feels for you. So many girls are traumatized. And I get that some guys don't know, but you got to take it slow. You got to be relaxed. You got to be super turned on. There's a way to do it so that it actually feels good. And most people aren't in the know. So anyway, so doing the pegging and stuff brought up conversations about you and guys, is what it sounds like. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah, I brought up some conversations with me and guys. But again, it's one of those things where I'm unsure, don't know what to do, don't know if I really want to be with a guy. I have no desire to one-on-one. It'd be something that in the moment of a threesome. And again, this is new to her. So does she want to see that? Does she want to be a part of it?
Yeah.
So there's so many conversations of how she didn't like me being with a girl. Does she want to see a guy touch me or me vice versa? So there was so much unknown going into this threesome when we finally set one up.
So the first one was with a guy. Did you know whether that guy was down for guy-on-guy action? Was he straight? Was he bi? Was he open? Did you know?
Yeah, he was bi. He was orally bi. So he wasn't hardcore bi, but he liked playing around a little bit, and he was into MMF threesomes.
Okay, so the first threesome you're having with a guy is going to be an MMF, because an MFM threesome, and I'm just going to tell some people if they don't know, and I used to not know, a male-female threesome is when it's just two guys and one girl, and just the guys don't do anything with each other. An MMF is like the two guys also might touch each other, blow each other, might interact as well. So your first threesome with a guy was an MMF, where you guys wound up doing stuff together.
Yes.
Okay, cool. So walk me through that scenario. Because listen, you picked the guy for your wife. Like, when you finally showed him to her, was she down? Was she into him?
Yeah, well, so it was kind of a surprise. It was kind of set up because we had talked about this for a while, and she kept backing out last minute.
Yeah.
I'm like, initially the next day she'd be mad. I shouldn't have backed out.
Yeah.
I said, what would you like me to do? I said, I could just surprise you with one, but that's not right. I'm not going to force something on you. And then she told me, she goes, just surprise me one day. I'm like, okay. I said, but you have to be sincere. If I surprise you with something and you're not okay with it, you better shut it down. I don't care what anybody else is around. You better shut that down.
Yeah, because that's a very gray area to surprise someone. So I get
correct.
That. Yeah, so you have to be really clear. Like, okay, it's going to be gray, but it has to be the clearest gray possible, right? So you know you're not putting her in a fucked up position.
Correct. So again, that part of our communication, we really kind of hammered that communication and hammered this scenario down. Like, this is what I need to know, and I can't put you in any position where you're uncomfortable. If you are, I'll shut it. You know, I will stop it immediately. My number one objective in life is to protect my wife and my family.
Mm-hmm.
So I end up talking to a guy, set it up, talked to him for a while. He was very nonchalant, laid back. He wasn't pushy. He wasn't like most of these men, oh, I'll just come over and bang your wife for you. You can watch. Just telling me how great they are, how hung they are, and they're like 6 inches. That doesn't impress this guy. Mm-hmm. So finally I met the right guy.
Yeah.
He was our age. He said, look, man, I understand. I told him the whole scenario. Look, I'm going to surprise her with it. He said, I understand. That's kind of weird. He said, but I get it. He said, if there's any issues, you just got to tell me no. He goes, I don't care if we're in the middle of it. I'll stop it. So he was very on the same page. He was very good to communicate with, talked to him for a while, for a few weeks, and finally I set it up. So okay. Me and my wife I got us a hotel room out of town a little ways. met the guy. Well, my wife thought we were going to go out and all this stuff. And I said, well, here, you go take a shower and get ready, blah, blah, blah. I'll be right back. I forgot something in the car. So I go down to the car and meet the guy down in the hotel lobby. Talked to him for a while, and I'd been talking to him. And he came in very casual, very nonchalant. Like I said, just very relaxed, very easy to talk to. And kind of reiterated the same thing. Hey, look, this is kind of a surprise. If she's kind of iffy, we're shutting it down. He said, nope, no problem. So we end up going upstairs, and I didn't just get a generic little hotel room. I got a suite, so we had a separate bedroom, separate living area. So he was in the living area, and I went into my wife and said, hey, I got a surprise for you, so get dressed. We're staying in. And she just kind of looked at me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she just kind of looked at me and kind of smirked and was kind of a little nervous, though. And I could tell. I said, if you're nervous, you got to let me know.
Yeah.
She said, no, I'm good. I said, all right. So I went back in the living room, was talking to the guy. And about 10 minutes later, she came out. She came out in the nightie and makeup on. And he came in, they introduced, and I set her on my lap. And I said, hey, how you feeling? She said, I'm good. So we sat there and we were talking. So we just talked like 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And the guy was, again, the guy was great. He was very calm, relaxed, bullshit with her, could talk about anything. We all just kind of talked and laughed. And then about 15 minutes in, I said, here, sit down. I said, here, you make my leg go numb. Sit down here in between us. I sat her in between us and we just talked a little bit. Then I just started kind of touching her and he was following my lead. So we both kind of touched her and then I pulled one of her breasts out and he pulled the other one out. She just kind of leaned her head back and she started enjoying it. She was just letting us. She opened her leg up. We were both playing with her pussy. Everything was great. So we were just sitting there kind of just kissing on her, touching her, making her feel good, relaxed, right? Foreplay. I said, come on, let's go in the other room. So I got up, grabbed her by her arm, brought her in the other room. I picked her up, gave her a big old kiss. I laid her on the bed and I went down and I pulled her underwear off and I started eating her out. The guy took his clothes off. He got up and she grabbed his dick and brought it right to her mouth and she started blowing him.
Wow.
And so she was still, you could tell a little bit of nervousness in her. You could just see the look on her, but she wasn't bad. Like I looked at her. I looked at her. She would shake her head like, I'm good. And we just kind of went with that for a while. So we had one and everything was great. And then, so we did round one basically. And we showered, cleaned up and we were bullshitting again.
So round one, the farthest you guys went was like oral. She gave the guy a blowjob, right?
No, we had full, round one was full sex. It was just,
well, you didn't get to that point. You stopped after she blew him and that her dick was in the mouth. You're the worst storyteller. What the fuck happened?
Okay.
This is how you told the story. No, but you're like, you were actually doing good this time. I was like, oh, he's finally giving some description. You were getting really descriptive. You were saying everything that went on and then you ended. She put the dick in her mouth. She was kind of nervous. And then you were, they were showering.
No, I'm sorry. Well, we had two rounds that night. So the first one was straight MFM. So then I was going to get to the MMF part of it.
Okay, but the first time after she blew him, you guys all did fuck. She fucked
him.
Yeah,
we all fucked. Yes.
Okay.
We both fucked her. She rode him. He fucked her doggy style while she was blowing me. We did everything.
Okay, well, you can't skip that, okay? This is your first time. Oh, my God. Okay, go on.
We both took turns on her. We enjoyed it. We both came inside of her. My wife she is fixed, so she can't have kids. We went all the way. Everything was great. We stopped after that. It was summertime summertime where we live. It was hot. We're sweaty. We got up, took a shower, cleaned up, and we kind of sat around for 30 minutes, 45 minutes of bullshitted. And we kind of talked. We were all sitting there in a towel and just gossiping, just talking and having a good time. Well, I'm a pervert and I'm horny, so I said, I'm not done. And I went down and started eating her out again.
Uh-huh.
So I started eating her out again, and then she started blowing him again. I got on top of her and started having sex with her. She's blowing him, and she grabbed his dick, and she grabs back my head, and she puts his dick right by my mouth.
Wow, that was on her.
Yes, that's how the bi stuff happened.
Okay, interesting.
That's where I was getting to that part of the story. So then I blew him a while, and it felt different, right? Because like I blew her strap on before, but it was completely different feeling.
Yeah.
I had no idea what a dick feels like. I just feel my own. I blew him for a while. Then I was having sex with her. Then he started having sex with her, and he blew me for a while. We just kept going back and forth, taking turns on her, taking turns on each other. We both ended up coming to her again.
Wow. Now, how was that experience for you? Because this is the first time you are with a guy and you've called yourself a pervert a million times. Did the pervert in you love the fact that here you were getting some guy on guy action?
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
In the moment, I think it was great. I don't think I'd meet a guy one-on-one, but in those scenarios, I think it really adds to a threesome. I think the second part of that threesome we had was way better than the first one.
Yeah.
Because everybody was interacting. You're not just dominating one person or not just one. It was kind of a mutual thing. Everybody enjoyed it, and it was great. It really heightened the experience.
Yeah, no, I've heard that a lot from couples that when they do get to the point where there is guy-on-guy action allowed, they prefer it that way because there's no stopping anybody. But there's just total freedom, so it flows better, they say. And I had this guy, Dr. Joe Court, on, and I recently re-aired his episode, and he talks about how there's something called erotic orientation. It's different than your sexual orientation. When sometimes, like a guy in just in the middle of sex might wind up sucking a dick, but it doesn't mean anything. It's just this erotic orientation. It's like in that moment, like you said, like you're down because it's hot, but it's not like you would go out and be with a guy. And he's here to say that that's like a true thing. There's a distinction between the guy that would see the guy and is bisexual compared to the guy who just in the middle of sex because it's hot and he's horny might suck a dick. And enjoy it. Doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Further.
No, that completely makes sense. I saw his episode on there. I haven't listened to it yet, but it completely makes sense to me. Like I said, I don't look at guys, oh my God, he's cute. I want to go blow him. I'm like, eh, whatever. But in that moment with my wife, whether it's seeing her enjoyment or if it's just us together, I'm down. She could do whatever she wants to me, and I love it. I love seeing the look and the joy in her face.
Yeah. You should definitely listen to it because it's going to explain exactly that to you. And he's like a PhD doctor, sexologist. It really makes sense. So anyway, so your girl, obviously, she was the one that pushed you to the guy. So she obviously got turned on by it too.
Yeah. Oh, she loves it.
Yeah, that's
awesome. She 100% loves it. She's talked about wanting to do more and me fuck a guy and everything. I said, I don't know. We haven't found a guy that's into all that. And I don't know. Again, in the moment, I don't know. There's several times we talk about, hey, we should go out and have some fun, but I'm not really in the mood, babe. She's like, fine, we don't want to. And there's times like, hey, would you like to go maybe find somebody here in a couple of weeks? No, I'm not in the mood. We just shut it down because really it's just us. But when you're in that mood and you're both in that same frame of mind, it is absolutely the best sensation in the world sharing that with your wife.
So now how was it seeing her fuck another guy? I know she loved watching you suck a dick. Like, how did you feel about watching her with another guy?
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah.
I can't get enough of it, but she doesn't have any, not really rules, but she doesn't want to go sleep with 15 guys a week. Like, you hear these couples on your show that have date nights every Wednesday. They're fucking two new guys a week.
That's not the average. That's not as common. I have some really hardcore females who could fuck a different guy every night and be happy and have gangbangs and stuff. But most women don't roll like that. For every 20 guys you bring in a room, you're lucky if there's one guy that a girl would be attracted to. She might have to roll past 50 to find one she's attracted to, whereas it's a very different scenario for guys. So women are wired very differently. I typically don't hear from the couples that are having so many different guys. Most of the time, it's the woman is way more picky, and it's harder for her to find somebody. But once they do some work and they've been doing it for years, they might wind up getting a couple guys they have in rotation, but it's not like they're just strangers every other time. That's not how girls are.
No, and it's like I said, my wife doesn't want to be overwhelmed by fucking five guys in a week or five guys in a month. So we again, this is an addition to our sex life. So we do this once every 6 months or once every 4 months. It just depends on our mood and how we feel.
Yeah. How was your reclaiming sex after? Did it just add to it, your sex life for the next month?
Yeah, you know? It was absolutely great. That night after he left, I had sex with her. I had sex with her again the next morning. It was absolutely, I saw her in a whole nother light. Like, my wife's always been very timid and shy. Mm-hmm. Not really timid, I guess. Maybe that's the wrong word. But she's been very, very shy of just, she's not free to be herself. She's never just kind of put herself out there. And she doesn't realize how beautiful and sexy she is.
Yeah.
And she's got a lot more confidence lately. And it's nice to see it. But yeah, that it just it, I saw her in a whole nother light, and I could have sex with her and have sex with her, and yeah, it was great. So after that, we didn't really have this big conversation about, oh, look, he did this, or we shouldn't have done this. We waited a few days. She wanted to digest everything.
Okay.
So we spent a couple of days. We stayed downtown, and we had some plans that next evening. Everything was fine. We went home, and a couple of days later, she wanted to talk about it, and we did. And she said she didn't really like kissing the guy. She said it wasn't bad. Just it was something, a little hang-up of hers. And you hear that from all couples. They don't want to kiss, I guess.
Yeah.
But so that was one little hang-up of her. Other than that, she said she was fine. She said she enjoyed it. She doesn't want to do it every week again, but she was surprised at how much she enjoyed it. And then we had the conversation of how much I enjoyed it seeing her that way. And it just, it kicked our relationship to a whole other level.
Yeah, amazing. Now, have you done it since? What happened after that?
So we've probably done it 6 or 7 times.
Wow.
It's been the last 3 years, 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to think what happened at that. It's hard finding people. You find person
yeah.
that's just not the right mood, or they don't want to do any buy stuff. So you're limited in what you want to do now that we enjoy the buy side of it during the threesome. It's hard finding that right guy. We finally found a guy recently, and he's been a repeat person. So before we did it one and we were done. We never saw the person again.
Yeah, but this is the perfect time for you to go off on what you were going to say about the BBC, because you didn't really explain it before. This is the perfect time to talk about it, because really it's about the difference in picking that guy, that third guy. You find that the black guys are cooler than the white guys. The white guys come across as creepy or something. I don't know. Explain what you said to me in the email.
Okay. So that evolved into, I think we had another threesome with another white guy. Then we ended up meeting up with a black guy. And part of your conversation you and I had over email was, why do couples and these white couples see BBCs?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, most white guys that are out here, the single white men, sound desperate. They make themselves sound desperate. They think they're...
Really?
They're desperate, and they make you feel like they're doing you a favor by screwing your wife, like you can't do something. Now, I know there's those cuckold relationships and the guy's got a small dick or whatever, and they want this big guy to come in and screw their wife. That's all great, but that's not what me and my wife have.
It's more of a stag vixen thing.
Yes. Well, we've been with several people, and not several, I think 6 guys, and I've yet to find one that's bigger than me. So even so going into the black guys, is they're passionate. They're not here just to fuck. I know some of them are, but you find most of them, the majority of them, they're here, they're passionate. They're appreciative. They say, hey, thanks for letting me hang out with your wife. Thanks for you guys inviting me over this weekend. They're more respectful.
Interesting.
And, you know, I grew up in society where I was not in some rich, high-class white society. Most of my friends are either black guys, Hispanic, Mexican, whatever it may be. Whatever it is, all my friends are... I have very few white friends growing up.
Yeah.
So we never had an issue with race, but in this lifestyle, it seems like black guys are sought after for certain reasons. Some people I hear them play the race card, and I think it's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah.
But this is more because of how they carry themselves. They're confident. They have a little swagger to them. Most of them have a decent-sized cock, and they enjoy the intimacy with your wife, and they have a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, I've had a couple bulls on my show, more than one, maybe 5. I love getting the threesome stories from the bull perspective. Sometimes it's like super funny, but I have had a couple black bulls on, and their specific way of getting down with the couple, you know, they would use the word passionate. That's what they were looking for. They were looking for that kind of hookup. I'm just going to go in and fuck you really hard like a jackhammer and get out. It was like, that's what they were specifically looking for. So maybe you're right. I don't know if it's all of them, or maybe you fucked the bulls that I had on my show. But that's the way they were. And that's why. And by the way, they told me these were 2 guys, 2 separate ones, and they were very popular with couples because that was the way they rolled, when they really made sure to give that woman a really great time by being passionate. Because women like that. Women prefer that kind of sex anyway.
Well, there's women that want to be actually just pounded and fucked senseless, and that's fine. But
not
a lot
most
of
them.
Don't. Like you said, exactly. So you want to have that passion and that fun.
Yeah.
And you get these white guys out here got this 5-inch dick and they want to fucking come in 30 seconds. What's the point of that?
Yeah, like a rabbit, like a jackhammer. Yeah, the worst. But I know you did tell me they come across as like desperate. What are the things that a white guy shouldn't say to a couple? What is it that makes them seem desperate to you? I think that's good information for that white guy out there.
When they answer an email or an ad or whatever, your profile is, hey, you want me to come fuck your wife for you? That,
yeah.
No, I don't need you to fuck my wife for me. That's not that type of relationship. Or all of a sudden, they'll send you a message at noon. Hey, well, I'm free at 3 to 3:30. Well, this is not a time appointment. If you're setting a 30-minute time limit for me to meet you, have sex, and leave, you're not going to fuck for more than five.
Yeah.
So that's just the way they carry themselves. And it's sad. And most of them are pathetic. I hate saying this, but most of them are pathetic. Most of them don't carry themselves properly. They're not the cleanest white guys out here. It's rare to find them, and at least the black men take more pride in themselves.
Interesting. Okay, so now is the guy your regular now that you like, or you just, I think you mentioned one before. Is he a black guy?
He is not. He's a white guy that I met. We had a great night with him. We had another night with him, and I've actually joined him with another woman. So him and I have actually joined another woman that I know that I found. And like I said, my wife lets me go out and have fun every once in a while.
Oh, yeah, we forgot about that.
She doesn't want to be overwhelmed.
Yeah, we forgot about that. So it's more than just that one woman that you were able to see back in the day. Over time, you have been with other women too?
Over time, because again, like I said, my wife finally, I've been with another couple, and then I met a woman, a younger woman who, same thing, she wasn't treated good, didn't have good sex. Well, she found somebody that knows how to screw, and I did it, and I was like, well, I got a friend too, so she was down, and me and my buddy tag team her once, and we're supposed to again here, I think next week, we're supposed to meet up with her.
Now, your wife is cool with not taking part in that hookup.
Correct. She is fine with it. I've offered her to come watch if she wants to watch. I've offered everything. She said she's not ready there. She's not in that spot. She loves that I get to go have fun. She'll tease me. Hey, have you talked to so-and-so and so-and-so today? Are you going over there? Or she'll ask me questions. And that's not like when I stop up with the other girl without her. These ones, as soon as I get home, she wants to know what happened. Or even on the drive home, she's texting me, what happened? Did she do this? Did she do this? So she is all in it. She just doesn't want to be a part of it.
Okay. So she kind of gets into it now.
Yes. Oh, it turns her on. She is loving it now. And I think it's part of her hang-up. I think it's part of her hang-up is, again, you're taught this is wrong. You shouldn't live this way. And she's enjoying it. She's enjoying it. She's like, fuck, I'm not supposed to enjoy this. But she is. It's her body. She needs to enjoy it.
Yeah, that's awesome because she's progressed and she's done so much and she's so much more in touch with her sexuality without probably any guilt or shame that now she actually does enjoy it. Maybe before, like you said, it was more so she wasn't enjoying it because of other things.
Yes, correct. Well, she was always taught you have to be in a relationship. You have to be this. You shouldn't go out and just randomly talk to people. She was, her family's not very religious, but she was around it. You know how that stigma is.
Yeah.
And she was just always taught you have to be very, carry yourself a certain manner. I was like, you can do whatever the fuck you want. You got to be respectful at work. You got to be respectful at certain places. But if you want to go out on a weekend and show your tits, show them.
How did you wind up with another couple?
How did I? They messaged me on one of the sites, us as a couple, me and my wife as a couple. And I was like, you know what? My wife's not into the women thing right now, but I'm available if you get there. And it just progressed, and I ended up meeting up with them.
How was that?
But even that. And so I met up with them. The guy wanted to blow a guy, and it was his first time. So I went and I had sex with him and her. And I met them. They got an Airbnb. I met them. I screwed her. He was blowing me. I didn't blow him because it was different without my wife there.
Mm-hmm.
We had sex for a couple hours and everything was great. But we were supposed to meet as a couple because, just like I said, my wife wasn't at the moment. I said, not right now. I'm not going to because I think we just had a threesome with somebody else. And we ended up all meeting, talking together. We went out to dinner. We were texting back and forth. And the girl said, well, I fucked your husband. You got to fuck mine. My wife's like, no, I don't. So, again, people sound desperate and try to think you have to do things or this is some kind of bartering system. I don't know. It's weird. A lot of the people out here are weird.
I don't know where you live. You don't have to say, but yeah, that's interesting. But wait a second, because you do know that black guys are more passionate and stuff. Have you had black guys that you've brought into the mix? I'm assuming.
Yes, we have.
Okay. So tell me some of those experiences.
They were great. We met a guy, we went out of town, and I met this black guy online, talked to him for months. Again, he was just randomly, hey, how you guys doing? You ever come in the area? I'd love to see you. He was not aggressive. He was not pushy. Well, we finally made plans. We were going out of town for a while, and I sent him a message. Hey, we're going to be in your area in a couple weeks. He said, man, I'd love to see you guys. You guys want to sit down and have dinner, say hi. I'd love to just meet you. If it goes further, great. If it doesn't, I'm okay with it. So they're not. He's just not pushy. We end up going out there and having dinner and laughing and bullshitting, and we brought him back to the hotel room. It was not bi. It was just a MFM, and my wife loved it. And she loved the way he communicated with her, loved the way he, just everything about him. And there was no crazy sex. Like I said, we both were on her at the same time, whether she was blowing me and I was screwing her or vice versa. But it was just good. It was, she loved the feeling. She loved the way she was treated. She doesn't want to be treated like a piece of meat.
Yeah, that's cool. And so now it sounds like you've kind of done a lot of different things. Now, I do think I remember you saying in the beginning that maybe she's open again or willing to try watching you or being involved in another threesome with a woman. Is that true or no?
Yeah, we've hinted around a little bit here and there. She loves girl on girl porn. That's probably the one that gets her off the most. She wants to do it. I think she has a hang up in her head. I think once she gets past it, she'll be fine. The problem is the time we did dabble in it was with probably the wrong person.
Right, right, right. But you haven't tried since.
We have not.
Right. Is it because you're just having too much fun with the guy threesome? Because it sounds like she really not only gets off on doing the guy herself, but she really loves watching you with the guy too.
Yes. Yeah. Where we're at right now is great. We got the perfect scenario set up where we're finding the right people. We're enjoying it. It's not over the top. It's just a good MMF and everybody's happy. Everybody's enjoying it. Nobody feels like they're degraded. Nobody feels it's been a great experience.
Yeah. And it's what's great for you is that you do have the freedom if something falls into your lap, whether it's a single woman or a couple. I mean, you are free to go and down that path as well and try it out. What happens if there were two women that wanted to get down? Could you do that?
I will. as long as I tell her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As long as you tell her. And she's never said no. She's always down. She's cool.
Yes, she's great. She's amazing. I love her to death. I'm going to have her call in.
Can she? Because I really feel like getting this story from her perspective would be great. From the woman who was very vanilla and was like a lot of women out there, too afraid to really get in touch with all of the things that she was into sexually. I think a lot of women are very sexually repressed because there's a stigma around women that fucking love sex. They're sluts. They're whores. There's a lot of reasons why women are more uptight about it. They don't, like, a guy wears it as a badge of honor if he fucks a lot of girls. For a woman, God forbid, she fucks a lot of guys, and then she's looked down on. So it's really interesting to talk to the woman like your wife, who has she's come a long way. She's completely morphed into somebody totally opposite of who she was when she met you, but she's always been open.
Yeah, no, she's great. She's great, and the communication is great. I did tell her that I was doing that I sent you an email a couple weeks ago, and I did tell her I was doing this conversation right now, so I will make sure, I'm sure she's going to want to hear it.
Talk to her and see if she'd be down to call in as well. But if she knows, what I would love is like some R-rated pics for my Patreon. I do pics of my guests over there. And if the partner knows, I don't mind getting pics of them as well, as long as they're in the know that you're posting pics. And obviously you're cool with your girl. You would never do something without her knowing. But if you want to send in hot pics of your wife and even you, just anonymous pics, no dicks in the pic or anything like that, R-rated, that'd be great. And then I'd love to have her on for sure.
Okay. I will talk to her about the pictures. I did not bring that up to her, but I'll make sure I talk to her about that when I get back. And
yeah, and those would be anonymous. Tell her those would be anonymous. No faces. We cut out the faces. It's in my Patreon, so it's kind of closed. People have to pay to get in there, so it's not on any public website or anything. And like I said, it's also anonymous. So ask her if she's down with that. If so, send me some pics, and I'll talk about whether they're up or not on the intro. And then ask her if she wants to call in and tell her story. It'd be great, and I would air it after this one.
I will definitely do that.
All right. Thanks, Jason. Thanks so much for calling in. Your story was great. Super interesting.
Thank you. You have a good day.
You too.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye.
Bye.
Everyone, thanks so much for tuning in to this week's episode. If you want to follow the show, follow me at Strict Anonymous on Instagram or Twitter. That's at Strict Anonymous. If you are on YouTube, make sure to subscribe. I love YouTube as a platform for my show because people comment there and I try to reply back to every single person who posts a comment. So even if you're not listening on YouTube and you want to talk about the show, go to my YouTube channel, subscribe, and share my videos at Strictly Anonymous Podcast. If you want to sign up for my Patreon, on my Patreon, you are not only supporting my show, but you will get these episodes early, ad-free, and you get to see anonymous pics of my guests. Most of the girls send in anonymous pics, and some of the guys send in anonymous pics. So if you want to see anonymous pics of my guests, as well as support my show and get these episodes early and ad-free, sign up for my Patreon, patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. That's patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. The link is also in the description below. Thanks so much for listening.
Do you have a story, lifestyle, or situation you can't talk about to anyone? Or do you just want to let your freak flag fly and be on the show? Well, Strictly Anonymous wants to hear from you. Send us an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, with your story and your anonymous name. And remember, everything is Strictly Anonymous. Strictly Anonymous.